want you to sing it now. Well, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Sing it one more time with all your heart. Yes, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now, how many of you come to have church tonight? It's Saturday night. You're here. You might as well get in the service. You might as well pat them little hands. Stomp them little feet. Use them vocal cords for the glory of the Lord. You're here. You might as well do that. There's no need to sit and watch somebody else do it. We're going to do it for ourselves. Is that right? Now let's give the Lord Jesus Christ a real good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? What a privilege and what an opportunity it is to be here. Did you enjoy church here Wednesday night? The word of the Lord was good, wasn't it? The word of the Lord was real good. We're being honed into the Christian men and women, boys and girls that we ought to be. Aren't you glad to be a part of a continuing book of Acts? Are you glad to be part of that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand or point at them or do something and tell them we're glad to have you in church tonight. What a privilege. Play some more of it. Sing that one more time with all your heart now. Oh, Holy Spirit. This place, Holy Spirit, Thou art more time. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. They're asking that we would still remember Brother Homer Longoria. I think he was admitted to the hospital on last Sunday morning. I don't know if he's still in or he got to go home. But we still want to remember our brother, that the Lord would just give him a healing and let him receive his healing in his body. And we just commit him unto the Lord. Sister Teresa White says to please help me pray for some special friends of mine in Arkansas, LaDonna and Jim Waller's grandson, Cody. They just found out that he has malignant B-cell lymphoma. He is 16 years old. They're trying to get him in St. Jude's. Pray that they can do the best for Cody, and God's will be done by his stripes, Cody, as well. We believe that, don't we? So we just commit him unto the Lord. Want to pray for Brother Luis Salazar from Peru, also his family, for needs that the Lord knows all about. Whatever that need would be, we just commit it unto the Lord. Please pray for Brother Greg Robbins, who's down with his back. Also remember Sister Shirley, who had a cataract removed yesterday. So let's remember her and Brother Greg as we pray. Jean and Janet Lehman, sick with the virus. Let's pray for those folks. Sister Linda Kennedy, sick, has stomach all the time, just cannot eat, makes her so weak. So let's pray for her tonight as we pray. Brother and Sister Baker offers this testimony, just for everyone to know, we're here and we're healed. The devil is a liar. We are not backing up. We're moving forward. Amen. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Harmon. She's in the hospital, Johnson City Medical Center, with difficulty in breathing. Also pray for Sister Rachel Estep, has strong pain in her leg. Let's pray for her tonight. I want to remember Sister Yvette Collins. She's sick, unable to be in the service tonight, so remember them, those folks, as we pray. Please pray for Sister Rachel. Her neck has been bothering her, which has been giving her some severe headaches. God bless. This is Brother Randy Scott sends that in, so let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that need. I want to remember Sister Linda Kreger and her mother, Sister Katie and Tommy. They're traveling to visit their brother Leslie in a nursing home in West Virginia. They're just asking for his healing and for traveling mercy. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Janet Payne. So I want to thank the Lord for touching my body through prayer and faith. Some bleeding that I had is gone. She wants to praise the Lord for that. Brother Amos says early this morning, Brother Bruce Hackett passed beyond the curtain of time, is in the presence of the Lord. Remember his wife Tina and his daughter Leah and family in prayer. God was good to this brother, so let's just pray that for that family tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of them and comfort their hearts. Brother Terry Horn says, please remember my grandson, Ethan Newmer. Julie said that he is hurting with strep throat, so let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Tamika Brown says, please pray for my dad, Franklin Millage, who is in the hospital with dizzy spells and a low heart rate. Thank you, and may God bless. So all these needs tonight, we just want to commit them unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're serving a prayer answering God, and we know that. We just want to have faith in His Word that He has already healed us. May our faith arise to the occasion and receive our healing, whatever we have need of. If it's physical, financial, domestic, whatever you need healing for, God is able to give you exactly what you have need of. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we get ready to pray. Brother West, would you come tonight? Take these needs to the Lord. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord Jesus. Love you, buddy. Love you, brother. God bless you. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I ask that as we come before you tonight, we not do it lightly, Lord. I ask you that every believer under the sound of my voice tonight, not look at this as part of the ceremony and part of the service, Lord, but look at this as a time where we join together our voices in agreement for our brothers and sisters and their needs, Lord. Lord, we want to lay the faith that you've given us down together as your body, as the queen of heaven, Lord. We want to lay our faith down and join it together and bring all these licks of fire together to believe Lord, because there are so many precious saints of God that have put their needs here tonight, Lord. And we want to join our faith with theirs. And we're asking that you give them a revelation that they are already healed. Lord, I believe with all my heart. I believe with everything I am, down to the core of my bones, Lord, I believe that if we just apply the faith you've given us and stand together in one voice and under the unity of the Spirit, Lord, we agree for these needs, Lord, that not one of them will leave here unhealed tonight and not one of these prayer requests will go unanswered. I know that's the truth. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, Lord, that the devil might cast, that is the absolute truth. You do hear our prayers. You do love us. You do care. When our relatives and our friends have passed beyond the curtain of time, Lord, we know that veil separates this place and that place, but we know that one day you'll tear that veil, just like you did the one in the temple, Lord. And we know that we will be together, one body in one place at one time, Lord, forever. For eternity, Lord, we're going to join you. Lord, we cannot wait until this time comes. Lord, we come together tonight not only to lay these requests at your feet, but to love you, to give you our whole heart, to give you everything we are, to sacrifice, Lord, our entire being to you tonight and give you what you deserve. Lord, what you don't demand, but Lord, what you deserve. Lord Jesus, we know that you're about to step out in skin of a man. You're about to come out before us, and it's going to look like a man walks out here, but it's going to be you speaking to us directly, mouth to ear, Lord God. We believe it with all of our hearts. Lord Jesus, I know that the time is near. I know that you're coming soon, Lord God, and I just ask that you bless this service so that we can give you what you deserve, Lord God, because you are so worthy. We love you, Lord, and we give it all over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother West, you ready to have church, ain't you, buddy? Praise the Lord. Heard Brother Brenham say something or listening to a tape just a while ago. Never had heard this on a tape, but he was discerning in a prayer line after he preached the message. And he asked this lady, he had told some folks in front of her their condition. You're healed. And he asked this woman, he said, if I don't say anything to you about what's wrong with you, would you believe? She said, well, I don't know. I never heard that before. And he said, you don't know. So he began to tell her what was wrong with her. He began to tell others as they came through what was wrong with them. And one in particular person that stopped there, he asked him this, and I know it was the Lord Jesus talking. He said, do you believe what Brother Branham just spoke to you? Now I'm going to tell you, we don't have that per se discernment here in these services, but we're serving a God that knows what's wrong with you. And as Brother West said in his prayer, Brother Donnie getting ready to come out just in a few minutes, that's going to be God speaking through the voice of a man. Now, an incredible amount of emphasis is on these preliminaries. An incredible amount. If it was just ho-hum, we'd just sing a song, let somebody sing a special, we'd just go through the motions and let Brother Donnie come out and have to build that platform from the ground up. We don't want that. We're going to build a platform. By the grace of God, when he comes out, he'll hit the ground running, and we'll have a great time here tonight. But now it's up to you and me to push through whatever clutter's going on in your mind. Get rid of it. Get rid of the clutter. Look at somebody and tell them to get rid of the clutter. Get rid of it. Jesus Christ is as real tonight as he was when Brother Branham asked that lady that question. Jesus has not changed. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. Get up. Get up in Jesus' name. Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Get up, get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated. A victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Oh, get up,
name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved.
Don't go down defeated. Victory's here to claim.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. At the gate called Beautiful, they're laid out in the street. A poor, lonely beggar was crippled in his feet. John and Peter passed him, saw his need was bad. They had no gold nor silver, but they gave him what they had. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated. Well, victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days in which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. But God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews.
Hallelujah.
And take a hold of the power.
Thank you, Lord.
John and Peter, you.
Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved. Don't go down defeated. Well, victory's here to claim. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name.
The days of which we live in, there's evil everywhere. The body seems discouraged and overcome with fear. Oh, but God is wanting soldiers to get out of those pews and to take a hold of the power that John and Peter used.
Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved.
Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim.
Oh, get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling daily to those who would be saved.
Don't go down defeated while victory's here to claim.
Hallelujah.
Get up, get up. Get up in Jesus' name.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're going to make this journey somehow. Ushers, come get their money. We're going to make this journey somehow. Oh, the devil is on our track. He's trying to turn us back. But we're going to make this journey somehow. Yes, now we're going to make this journey somehow. Oh, we're going to make this journey somehow. The devil is on our track. He's trying to turn us back. But we're going to make this journey somehow.
We're gonna make it home somehow. Well, I'm gonna make it home somehow. The devil may be on my track.
That's right.
But I'm not turning back.
Oh,
I've gotta make it home somehow.
I'll sing it again. Yes, we're gonna make it home somehow.
Well, we're gonna make it home somehow. The devil's on your track.
Glory.
Oh, but don't turn back.
Oh,
we're gonna make it home somehow.
Right now. Right now.
Right now.
Oh, we're gonna make this journey right now. Oh, the devil is on your track. He's trying to turn you back. But we're going to make this journey right now. Oh, now we're going to make it home. somehow,
Lord,
we're gonna make it home
somehow.
The devil is on your track,
he's trying to turn you back,
but we're gonna make this journey somehow.
Oh, praise the Lord. Go ahead and let's worship him a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, we're an aging church. We're getting old. A lot of us are getting older, but we're not going to get crusty. We're not going to get rusty. We're going to worship and praise God till we can't do it no more. If you have to roll me down here, Harry has to tell me every word of every verse. If I'm still able, we're going to worship God. We're going to praise our Lord. He's worthy of every bit of praise you'll ever give him. He owes you absolutely zero. You owe him absolutely everything you've got. Somebody say glory. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. You're singing real good. Let me make this announcement, if you will. Who'd you say was singing? Sister Anna, if you'll come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. There's a table over in the fellowship hall that some of your personal items have been placed on. If you can, go by and get those. It'd be a whole lot better for you to pick them up and take them home with you than to these brothers have to take them to Goodwill and you have to go over to Goodwill and buy them. So get them while they're free tonight. They belong to you. Go ahead and take them home with you, because they're going to be discarded in the next few days. So please do that. Just remember that. Let's just sing a little chorus as Sister Anna prepares to sing for us. By God's grace, church, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's sing that little chorus tonight. We're going to make it as Sister Anna prepares to give us a special tonight. Yes, I'm going to make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good.
He walks beside me.
Sing it like you believe it, church.
And heaven is in my view.
Oh yes, now I'm gonna make it through.
One more time with all your heart. Oh yes, now
I'm gonna make it.
He's already said.
Oh, do you believe that with all your heart? Oh, that he's working everything for my good. Tonight, as she sings for you.
See hope and I- you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. What was dead now lives again, and my heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Oh,
I'm in this church, it's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan for a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words, upon this rock I'll build my church. And I'm in this church, it's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church, it's a glorious church. I didn't join, I was born, I had a new birth. Gonna sail away by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're just born into it? Nobody brought you in, which is really good, which means nobody can kick you out. Well, the Lord knows we've been kicked out a long time ago. If people wouldn't let us. And I'm sure we'd probably kicked out a few that belonged in there too. Knowing how we are as human beings. Amen. Aren't you happy to be in the house of God? Let's turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let's look again tonight about an overcomer in the galleries. I don't know about you, but with all of my heart, I want to be a greater overcomer. I'm already an overcomer. Demons tremble when I get up of the day. When I stand behind this pulpit, devils trip all over themselves trying to run and get out of the way. Exactly right. They showed you the same way as a child of God. You get up every day, they ought to grab their head. Dear God, give me the blood pressure medicine. Here she comes. Here he comes. You never know what in the world she's going to do. She's going to pray. She's going to live right. Hey, the prophet of God said to a man that can live such a life before God that the devil don't know what to do with him. To me, that ain't a good quote. It's the truth. Amen. Well, now that some of y'all think I'm absolutely out of my mind, let's read the scripture. For whatsoever is born of God may... possibly, on the rare occasion, every now and then, overcometh the world. It's emphatic. It comes with the turf. If you're in this church, you're going to overcome. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our, not your feelings. Sometimes I don't even feel saved. Well, Brother Don, if I felt the Lord the way you feel up there sometimes in the service, how do you know what I'm feeling? Well, you say the way you worship and stuff at the end, you think I'm feeling God every time I worship Him? There's a lot of times I'm not feeling anything. But I worship Him because I love Him, not because I feel something. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach tonight whether I feel anything or not. I like it better if I do feel it, but I'm going to preach with or without the feeling. Are you going to say amen with or without it? We're going to have church then. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faiths. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's read again the little quote we've been looking at, and how can I overcome? If the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it, and he's just everywhere, he can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I. But if we'll just hold still and let him do it. Friends, this is one of the hardest things we can ever do in our life. Just yield to him. Here, Lord, am I. Just... let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's the overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is your wife and your children and your boss and the person at church that gets on your nerves and the deacons and especially the pastor why are you folks shaking your head at me? Not right. Well, why is it that we act like it's these people that are hindering us? Now, if you believe it's you, why do you blame everybody else for your shortcomings and your problems? Thank you, Jesus. The thing you have to overcome is yourself. Your idea. Your thing. Our things cause us a lot of issues, don't they? And surrender yourself to Him. He overcame for you. He knows the way. We don't. So if I want to go to heaven, I go out to the parking lot here. Do I go left or right? Which way do I go? If I want to go to eternal life, do I go left or right? Do I go right at the light or left at the right? Or do I go straight across, go up the Gap Creek Road? Do I go to Kingsport or Bristol or Johnson City? Which way do I? There's none of you can tell me. Because it's not a road. The only one that can get us there is the one who came down from there Himself. That's why we needed Him in the end time to come again. And He did. Don't you love Him? How many like to be remembered tonight before the Lord in prayer? We have one of our little sisters at the church. It's about that tall, something like that. She has some pretty severe migraine headaches. She cut out this little prayer cloth for me to wear tonight. Except you become converted and almost a little child, you don't know why I see the kingdom. So she wanted me to pray over this and preach with it tonight. Because she believed Jesus could deliver her of those migraine headaches. How many believes? You have a need in your heart, your walk, your life. You'd like to make your request now known to the Lord. Now let's approach Him. Heavenly Father, we come this way because You bid us to. You told us in Your Word that we would ask in faith believing, and we didn't ask amiss. That we could have the petition that we ask. And if our heart did not condemn us, and that if we would agree on earth as touching one thing, all these blessed promises that You've given to us. So we come before You, Father, thanking You, first of all, for the countless millions of things You've already done for us. I first want to ask You to forgive me. I'm sure there's no doubt thousands of things that You've done for me that I haven't thanked You for. But I want to say thank You, Lord, for those I'm aware of and those that I don't even know happens. And then in that, Lord Jesus, we come before You tonight with other desires and needs in our lives. Father, You see this prayer cloth. Lord Jesus, I'm going to wear it next to my body as I preach Your Word tonight. I pray Your anointing would come. You see this little sister, this need that she has, Lord, of these migraine headaches. She believes Your Word. Dear God, I pray You'd make her well. Father, these other saints here tonight raise their hands, signifying needs, desires, requests, petitions. They bring them before You. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word, that You would anoint our faith tonight, Father. As we endeavor to look into the Word of God, I pray that You would help us. I know as a minister of the gospel, You have committed to me a stewardship. I have been given a stewardship of the mysteries of the Word, a stewardship of enlightenment to the Word, a stewardship of the ability to rightly divide the Word. I do not look at that and take it lightly. I pray You would help me tonight. Help me, Father, that I can apply my studies. Help me, Father, that I can apply everything that I am into submission. Not that my studies would take priority, but Your leading would take priority. Amen. Lord Jesus, speak to us our needs tonight. We love You, Father, in Jesus' name. Ezra stood up before the people, and they hadn't had the Word for many, many years. The Scripture said they built a pulpit, and Ezra began to read the Word. He stood darn red for hours on end. Amen. The people were so thankful and so grateful to God. You know how they expressed their appreciation for that word? The scripture says they said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I trust you'll continue to reflect your appreciation as we go on. Let's read, if you would, in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Basileo, to be king, to exercise kingly power, to reign or exercise the highest influence, to control. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. I realize the new birth, it's a great mystery. I know it's an astounding thing. To me, one of my favorite books of the New Testament is the book of Romans. Now, I love Ephesians, but I love Ephesians for a different reason than I love Romans. Romans contains the astounding doctrines of the new birth. It confuses many people. There are, I'm convinced, even message preachers that still do not understand Romans 7, Romans 8, and Romans 9. And this is why that they won't preach on it and really get into it, because they cannot understand it and make it real. For those who try to make Romans 7 apply to an unconverted person or to a person which is not mature, they'll never be able to get victory over themselves until they can see Paul is talking about him and them. And then you move into Romans 8 when he brings the catapult of victory and crowns chapter 7 with the crescendo of the glory of God in chapter 8. And then on, of course, to 9 and 10 and so on. And then it makes the story so beautiful. Now in Romans 6, Paul is here leading up to Romans 7, but he's already dealing with the divided factor of the converted individual. Now, to this, of course, the Baptists, the Methodists, the, you know, those who are not of the Armenian type of view, they absolutely love Romans 6 and 7. Therefore, it would tend to those who lean toward legalism and those who would be of the Pentecostal faith that have merged into the message. They really, really struggle with this aspect of Romans and of the converted Christian, which still deals with the humanity. And they want to project that if one is really born again and truly has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then they will not struggle at all with the flesh, because the flesh is saved. And my, it's got the Holy Ghost. And anybody that believes Romans 7 is a Baptist, well, Paul wrote it and he believed it, and he certainly wasn't no Baptist. So when we look at it, you know, to me, if we can get the right perspective, it helps us to understand what we have to overcome, and that the overcoming is truly within us. For the inward man, or the new man, is actually Christ created in us by the breath of God. It is you reflected in the form of creation. It is that part of God coming into you. This is why the prophet identifies what is a believer. It's the faith of God coming into you. It's not you believing and God doing something with your faith. It is actually the faith of God helping you to believe. So it is that faith of God that makes you a believer. Now, then when Paul starts dealing with this, he divides this as if so you are a split personality. And in other words, you are spiritually bipolar. You have a part about virtue which has transcended mortality. It has actually moved into the realm of the eternal, and it is that part that is born by the breath of God. And then there is another part of you which is on the other polar aspect, which has not been converted. And truly, you are bipolar. You are Antarctic, and you know, you're Arctic and Antarctic at the same time, in the same body. So you are cuckoo-wheat. Saved and unsaved, saved and lost, filled with the Holy Ghost and unregenerate. Now some of y'all's nervous already. But this is exactly the key to you learning how to overcome. Now Satan would like nothing better than to convince us as the people of God that if we are predestinated, then we have no more struggles. We have no more humanity, no more flesh that is left in us at all. And that's exactly a lie from the devil. It's not of God. That's right. Now, if I have to preach an amen myself, I will, but it's going to make you all look really bad in the eyes of God. Notice how Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Notice how he reflects again the neutrality of the body itself. Watch how he divides and makes two aspects living in the same realm at the same time. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now notice the your. So there is a you which actually possesses your instruments or your members. Now this is the part that has changed. Now the neutrality of the human body, as we'll look into it, it actually has access to be able to render its members as instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness as well. And it will depend upon who is the reigning power or the enthroned one in your soul that will identify the you that you really are. Let not sin therefore reign in your body. Now you are the one that is allowing this to happen. He is not placing it on the new birth or the person of Christ, the Word, in the soul. But it is you with your will. Remember, it must be the reversal of the Lamb of God, which gave his own life by his will. It was not that Jesus was made to die. He was not forced to die. He must be willing. Then if we receive the Lamb's life back inside of us, then the Lamb's life comes in us and the Lamb's nature will live itself out. How? Through our will as well. Then he will not come and make you go to church. He'll not make you do right. He'll not make you live right. He wants to temper your will that you will be willing to do it because the Lamb's life is in you, anointing you to do it. Now notice here that Paul then sets his parallel. So this verse is certainly not written to those that are unconverted, because they don't have the ability what's in the soul to make themselves obey the Word of God. Now there might be certain things that they can pick out and then choose mind over matter and manipulate it, but it's totally impossible for an unregenerate person to be able to do this verse that we just read. Absolutely impossible. Notice again in Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Notice again now the ye, which is the converted you. Neither yield ye your members. Notice how he's separating you from your members. Now here we are, the bipolar thing. So here ye are the one that is converted. You are the one that has the new birth. And then you have the ability or the say to delegate to your members what your members will do, where they will go, what they will say, how they will react. Notice it puts you in control. Neither yield ye, neither yield ye, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now it divides this, the polarity of what the new birth does. It divides you. The unconverted person is not bipolar. Spiritually I'm talking about, many of them are in the natural sense, but they are not spiritually bipolar in that they have heaven and earth us living in the same body. Their soul is of the world. Their spirit is of the world. Their body is of the world. Their appetite is of the world. So everything about them loves the world. They do everything they basically want to do in that sense. Once we become converted, then it sets another force within us. And then it sets this law of contrast working in us. And the very new birth itself is what causes this difference inside of us. So then that gives us the power by the indwelling presence of the new man, which is Christ the Word quickened in you as an individual, in order to bring your members now, it gives another person inside of you control over your mortality. So then you have the ability to bring your members. But your members are not you. It's where the quickened part lives inside this house. Oh my. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Now notice, this is not to the unconverted. These are to those who actually have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they were dead, but according to what he said, that they are now alive from the dead. So he is writing by the Gentile saints of God who have the Holy Ghost, and they are alive from the dead. And he is telling them, now that you all are alive from the dead, don't yield your members as members of unrighteousness. A sinner can't do this. A Christian can. Now watch. Neither they are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Now listen carefully, don't get confused on this now. That ye are yielding your members as members or instruments of righteousness. Listen carefully. These members and these instruments are not righteous themselves. But because you are righteous by the new birth, you are taking and yielding your instruments, and they are instruments of righteousness. Now, they are not righteous themselves. They are not sinless. They are not pure. Now, imagine in your mind that it's the temple of God when it was dedicated by Solomon. Solomon, the presence of God came in there, and they saw the glory of God. And they would take the snuffing hooks, and they would take the pots, and they would take the different instruments which were sanctified by the presence of God behind the Shekinah veil. Now all of those instruments and all of those pots and all of those tools of brass and tools of gold and all the purple and all the scarlet and all the things that was there, it was an instrument or something that was being used in order to worship God. Yet the snuffing hook and all the pots and the brass, that within itself was not righteous in that it was sinless, but it was an instrument of righteousness. How? Because it was used in administering the righteous obedience to the word of God. But that same piece of gold, guess what? Whenever the temple was ransacked by the heathens, when they come in and carried it off, what did they do? They carried it straight out of the house of God over to Babylon, and then they drunk out of them same instruments. So the instrument that was used in the house of God in the line of worship could be used for a king to drink at a drunken brawl. But oh, hallelujah. Don't you understand how our bodies, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our hands, praise the Lord, they can be used to worship God. They can be used to say praise the Lord. Or that mouth can be used to spread gossip and lies. Those hands can do things that they should not do. Why? Because they are as members of righteousness, but they are not righteous themselves. Now your soul is born again. It is as righteous as God himself is. But your hand is an instrument. Your eye is an instrument. If your hand was sanctified like the soul, it could never be used by the devil at all. My, my. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members. Now remember, your members are not you, but they are yours. Your members as instruments or tools of righteousness unto God. So don't let Satan have your eye. Don't let him have your ear. Don't let him have your hands. Don't let him have your Facebook account. Don't let the devil use your smartphone. And don't you let him talk you into using on something you shouldn't use it for. Well, praise the Lord. Now notice again the neutrality of the body. That world, then we yielded our members, our instruments, as instruments of unrighteousness. After we become saved, we are a new creation in the same old temple, and them members, them instruments, they ain't saved, they ain't got the Holy Ghost, but now there's a new man living in the house. So that new man takes the exact same fingers, the exact same eyes, the exact same ears, the exact same lips, and he says, now talk right talk. Do the right thing. Use them fingers to do the right thing. Use them eyes to look at the right thing. Use them ears to hear the right things. Did you get new hands and you got the Holy Ghost? Did you get new feet? Did you get new toenails? Did you get new eyes? No, you got a new man in control. The devil used to use his eyes. Now God used them. The devil used to use his hand. So they were members or instruments of unrighteousness. And now they are members or instruments of righteous. But they are not righteous themselves. Oh my. Notice in verse 14 now. For sin shall not have dominion. Kyrios is the Greek word here, which is to be exercised lordship. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now can you imagine Antioch Epiphanes the Fourth comes into Jerusalem in the year 167. Into the house of God, which thousands and thousands of lambs have been offered. The visible presence of God Himself come down at the dedication. And here Antiochus Epiphanes comes in and takes a pig. Yes. Right. And lays it on the altar of God. And offers it to Zeus. And swine blood runs down the holy altar of God. That's terrible. It's not near as bad as us letting the devil take our hands. Now look, the very same altar. Why? God didn't live in the altar. The altar, you understand, the altar was what? An instrument. And as long as it was used in the right way, for the right purpose, it was a holy thing. But the altar became defiled. The altar, the place of worship, became defiled the same way that our humanity, our ears, our hands, our eyes, our nose, our temper, our attitude, whatever more, can become defiled. Let a good person get a real mad, angry spirit on them. You let a real good Christian go to get an old hateful thing on them. Oh my. Let them go to get an old critical spirit on them. They criticize every service. They criticize every preacher. They criticize every song. They don't like the volume of the speakers. They don't like the heat. That tree's too tall. This one's too short. My tie didn't match my shirt. My socks is the wrong color. They don't like nothing. You know what it is? That altar has become defiled by a critical spirit. Swine blood. Woo. Oh my. It's the same way now with our mortality. It is consecrated to God, right? It is dedicated. How many of you have given your bodies to the Lord as a Christian? Lord, take me, all that I am, use me. But because it does not have the indwelling presence there that has changed the nature of the humanity, Satan loves to use them very things and make them instruments of unrighteousness. Notice again, Romans chapter 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. Now, how many besides me tonight will be honest and raise your hand and say your flesh is weak? Wow. I guess all the angels didn't come tonight. I figured they'll be here in the morning. Bless their little hearts. Now watch. Paul is addressing now saints that have been changed. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, in other words, when you were lost, you yielded your members them. They've done all these horrible, terrible things. But now it's simply a reversal because a different person is living on the throne of your heart. But now your members are not you. They are instruments. They're the fleshing hooks and the pots and the brazen lavers, and you understand. Now this is the way by which we come to church. This is the way by which we read the word. So what do? Our soul does not have fingers. Our spirit does not have hands. But we have a desire to read the word. Then we send a command from the soul, and it begins to move through the neurotransmitters in the brain and the neurons, and they come down through and tell our hands to pick up our Bible. So we pick up our Bible, and then we say, turn over there to St. John 21 and read down verses 1 through so and so, and we do that. Our instruments are simply obeying the command that has come from the control tower. But that very same instrumentality can be used at your church for somebody to get on Facebook and go to blasting this and saying this, the very same hands that done this about an hour prior to that. Or the very same voice, oh Jesus, I love you, Lord, I love you, Jesus, can say, I hate that person. I can't stand the way that I don't like dinner. I'll tell you one thing. Why? Because you're bipolar. But God has medicine for bipolar. It just so happens you're in the right place tonight because I've got my script pad with me. So all of those of you that need a script, see me. Praise the Lord. Now watch, he says, ye have yielded your members service. And notice, he's speaking to another source. Ye have yielded. So it was someone in there, in the embodiment of the flesh, ye, the other person, the old man, because ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. So it is another king inside of there, and these are the servants of the kingdom of darkness. So ye have yielded your members, and they have become servants of the old life or the old nature. Now he said, as you did that iniquity into iniquity, even so now yield your members. So what's happened? How am I going to be able to yield my members to do that which is right? It's very simple, really. It's the changing of the kings and the throne of your heart. Now, because, listen carefully, because you was lost and you were born in sin and you yielded your members. Why? Because even when you were lost, the body was neutral. Now you were born in sin, shape and iniquity. That's right. But if the body did not have an ability to be influenced by the positive of the supernatural, you'd never be saved. If the body could not yield to going to church, or if the body, Brother Jim, somehow could not, all glory to God, hallelujah. If the body could not be moved upon by a supernatural force, none of us would be saved here tonight. So even when you were lost, the Spirit of God was able to move on your body, and you got to feeling a need of something. Why? Your body was neutral. Now that you're saved in the Arctic and the Antarctic, and you're spinning around out here in your bipolar situation, your body is neutral again. Oh, the charge of eternal life can flow through you, and you can be eaten up with cancer at the same time. You can be sitting out hearing the word of God and you feel like your soul's fixing to fire the building. All of a sudden your blood pressure shoot up or your heart go to jumping around in your chest or whatever more happening. Why? Because the body is in its neutrality. And the body can be affected by the supernatural presence of God that's taking place. It can also be affected by something that's going on inside of your organs at the same time. Mom. What overcomers. Notice now in Romans chapter 7. Shh, don't tell nobody. But I'm going to preach out of Romans 7. It's against the law in the message. But I'm going to do it anyway. So don't tell nobody. Shh, this is just our secret. Romans chapter 7 verse 22. For I delight in the law of God. after the inward man. I love now the meanings of these words. They're so powerful. I delight to rejoice together with another or others. Do you understand when you delight with the word of God, you are rejoicing with or above with others? Amen. I delight to rejoice together with another or others. In the New Testament, wants to rejoice or delight with oneself. Praise God. I enjoy rejoicing with Brother David, but I enjoy rejoicing with Donnie too. You ever just rejoice within yourself? It's good to get together. Man, I tell you what, me and me have a time sometimes. Glory be to God. Amen. Rejoice within yourself. Paul said, I delight in the law of God. But notice where, now watch him define. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, esso, within, inner, the internal inner man, the soul. So I delight in the law of God after the soul. Now remember, the unregenerate man cannot do this. Totally impossible. Watch in future home. You're the same man in stature as you was when God called you, the same woman. But you see what it did? It was a regeneration. That old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. When you used to like to drink and cuss and fuss and stew and run around and immoral, that thing just died. Well, if I can do that, well, if I can try. No, it's got to die. It's got to die. It has to die, and then a new person comes alive in you, which is Christ Jesus. Oh, my. That thing just died, see? When you use, that's how Satan's instrument. Notice, then you were Satan's instrument. Now you are redeemed. And that's the way the world will be, the same way, redeemed, a new heavens and a new earth. Just like you. You are a new creature, and the Greek word, or anybody knows, said you're a new creation. Amen. A new creation. When you was lost, you was totally Antarctica. Then you get saved and get the Holy Ghost. Now you're bipolar. Notice Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I about had a runaway yesterday when I run across this. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to think, how in the world? What's Paul coming from? Listen to this. To be called with a person is a Greek phrase signifying to assume the interest of another, to enter into his views, to imitate him, to be wholly on his side. Glory! Be to God. That's about the way I was acting yesterday, the way y'all just responded right there. So the phrase, you know, to us it seems very, very strange. Let me read this to you. The phrase to put on a person, which seems a harsh expression in our language, was one frequently used by the Greek writers and means to embrace his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, to become like him. So the Greek writers would say about the disciples of Plato and Socrates and Theognis and many of those men, they would call their followers, they was putting on Socrates, or they was putting on Plato. Oh my. Which means that they were a disciple of Plato. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, Plato might have been all right in his day, but living like Plato won't raise you from the dead. Living like Plato won't take the sin out of you, but I want to be like a man who lives again. I want to be like him who can liberate me from sin, don't you? Now notice, Paul does not tell them to put him in. but put him on. Why? They can put him on, but they can't put him in. Now notice, here we come again to the will of man, and this is the thing that the elect of God will have that the others just will not simply do. The elect of God not only want to be changed within, but they want that life to be so reflected that it brings this body subject to the Word, so they put on the outside what God put on the inside. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm saved and I live any way I want to. No, that's not a real Holy Ghost filled saint. So after God put Christ in, the believers put him on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You mean the flesh still had lust after God had put him in and you put him on? You understand what putting him on is going to do? It's going to subdue that lower bipolar part of you. It's going to subdue the, oh, glory to God. It's going to bring the bodies. Well, I can't do this. I can't do that. Surrender to him, friend. Let him do it. And then put on the Lord Jesus Christ. My. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ. Sinking into clothing is what the word put here means. To sink into clothing. So as many of you notice, he don't say baptize in water. As many of you have been baptized in water. But as many of you have been baptized into Christ, the anointed word. Now, those who are just baptized in water, he could not write this to them because it does not empower them, Brother Amos, to help them to put on this Christ. But for those who have been baptized into Christ, Lord, children, do you realize, for those of you sitting here tonight that's truly born again, you've been baptized into God. You have been baptized into Jesus Christ, the Word. Your soul is forever changed. You'll never be lost again. This is the victory. This is the overcoming. Us putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. His characteristics, his traits, his opinions, his views. So if Jesus don't want us looking like the world, acting like the world, women bobbing their hair, men looking like sissies. And if we're baptized into him, we're baptized into his sentiments. And us men put it on and we look like it. And our sisters put it on and they look like it. Now those who say they're in it and don't look like that, there's something wrong with what they say they got. Bottom line, I don't care if you're a Baptist or a message person. If Christ is in you. Now notice, Christ is to us. I found this word today, I thought it was amazing. Christ is to you the toga vilarious. The toga vilarious was the Roman garment of a full-grown man, assumed when a young man was seen to be and deemed past childhood. So when he becomes adopted, now this is the thing that Brother Bram uses in the adoption series about a man being called out. The Romans had adoption as well. So when the man had come to that spot, whatever age it was, 15, 16, 18, whatever it was, they would call the man out and they would have a ceremony. And the Romans would give him this robe, toga virilis. And they would change his garment. Amen. Lord, children, can't you see why we're waiting for a body change? We're waiting for our toga virilis. We're waiting for our body, hallelujah, to God to match our maturity of our soul. We're waiting for a body that'll match what's already happened in our soul. So they would stand the young man up and he would enter into manhood. He looked different. He acted different. He talked different. Why? The garment itself testified he was a man. Don't you see why then we put on the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves after he's put himself in us? We act like Christians. We talk like Christians. We behave like them. Lord Jesus, but put ye on. Now this is your part. Ain't none of us can put him in us, but we can put him on us. Can make the word lie now. What is it? Simply yielding. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is to say, when opened up. For you to be able to yield to what's baptized you in, and you allowing it to work itself out.
That's right.
Through your opinions and your views and your makeup and the star you're born under and all that, it was a great battle. Oh, it was a tremendous journey when the Word left heaven. Tremendous journey when the Word went to the cross. Tremendous journey when the Word come up out of the grave. Oh, but what a tremendous journey it is for the Word to come from the baptized soul working its way through the human will. And the human being yielding their mind, yielding their thoughts, yielding their opinions, yielding their views. Growing, growing, growing. Starting out in the size of a button and you learning how to yield. And the more you yield, the more he'll grow. And the more you grow, oh, hallelujah. The more you grow and the more you yield. What is it doing? You are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your victory. Do you understand? This is the culmination of this message. Here, Brother David, it's the elect that are going in the rapture. Those who achieve putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cigarettes will be nothing. Alcohol, adultery will be nothing. Why? You're working on the very cause of it right here. Remember, there's only three avenues by which temptation can come anyway. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every temptation comes in that way. If you capture it and you absolutely bring it to a cease, absolute control from within you, no matter what Satan ever puts before you, it will have no power over you at all. And when that sin comes to you, it is the devil's sin, remember. It is the devil's sin trying to make you doubt the Word of God. And if you refuse to let that become incarnate in you, he will walk away with his sin and you did not partake of it. Because, hallelujah, you partook of the righteousness of God, and in the midst of the battle, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of temptation, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you were down, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, you, and make not provision for the flesh. Now notice him, he's separating again. This bipolar Christian. Telling you what to put on. And telling you and me not to satisfy the lust of the flesh. Isn't it amazing he didn't tell the Holy Ghost to do it? Brother Donnie, you don't know how powerful that devil is. Well, I think I do know a little bit about him. I think you don't know how powerful you are. You're focusing too much on how powerful he is. Remember, he's nothing but a big blowhard. He's going to come and huff and puff and blow your house down. He'll blow his brains out before he blows my house down. My house is built upon a rock. And if a man builds upon the rock, let the winds come, let the rains come. His house will never fall. If he can convince you he's all powerful, he ain't all powerful. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Notice again now what part he's telling us. Not put in. Because you can't put it in. But you can put it on. Friends, this is where many of us fail. This is our everyday walk with God. Taking what God put in and us putting it on. Brother Donnie, what are you getting at? I'm talking about the way you do your business, the way you respond to people that dislike you, the way you respond to people and they don't treat you right. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just wire a bracelet, what would Jesus do? Actually do it. What good's a yellow band do around your arm if you ain't going to do what you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't say wire a bracelet, what would Jesus do? But put him on. Put him on in your mouth. Put him on in your music. Put him on in your activities. But now you see, the power to verse 24 lays in the key of the unfolding of verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is why we need to come to church. This is why we need to hear the current word of God of this hour. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we might be able to be changed. Oh my. That ye put on, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. Lord have mercy. Put on the new man as the fruit of the inward renewal. The fruit of the inward renewal is displayed by outward appearance and outward behavior. The way we conduct ourselves. Oh, I know I ain't deep tonight, but I'm where you live. Now notice here Paul uses the word, he said, in that you put on the new man, which after God is created. Lord, children, do you understand what this means? Once again, the Creator is standing there creating a new race. As He made Adam after His image, He is now again making, creating other images after the second Adam. Your soul, if you are truly born again, has been created after Him. Lord Jesus. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the word created is used in the New Testament associated with the new birth. Or being born again. Rejuvenated. And it has its tie to the original in Genesis 2. When God created man. After God is the equivalent to the image of God. Y'all ain't getting this. The sheetrock would be laying on the floor if he was. Lord, children, can you imagine it? Those of you that are sitting here tonight with the Holy Ghost, your soul has been brought further back than Adam started. Oh, man, I got to say that again. That was straight from the bakeries of heaven. Your soul is further back tonight than where Adam started. Brother Terry, whatever it was that Adam had, he could fall from it. But if you're sealed tonight, you can never lose it. Adam fell from where he was, and the image of God left Adam. That image of God can never leave you. You are created after Him. Lord Jesus. So what do we need to come to church for? This reminds us. It catches the spirit of our mind. And it's renewing. Renewing. It's renewing. Colossians chapter 3 verse 9. Lie not one to another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice ye again. You mean, Brother Donnie, there's some things I got to do? Yeah, set your tea down and your moon pie and get out of your rocking chair and scrub all the cobwebs out of your brain and all the dirt between your toes and get up and put your shoes on. You're fixing a fight. Oh, my. us, and ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man. How could you make this switch? The throne room changed. Now, by the nature of our first person, we started taking on the nature of the old man, reflecting it through the neutrality of our bodies. Then we begin to do what the old nature said and the old man said, and then our bodies begin to bear the resemblance of a cigarette smoker, or a liar, or a thief, or a gambler, or an adulterer. But when we got saved, we started putting off the old man. We started, what happened, Brother West? God started doing something on the inside, and then we stopped going some of them places we used to go. What were we doing? Oh, glory to God, I wish somebody hear me tonight. We are putting off the image of what that old man done. We don't go where he used to go. We don't talk the way he used to talk. So we put off that image. And then verse 10. And have put on the new man. We start going to church. Start reading our Bibles. In other words, you got a real bad case of bipolar. People knew there's something wrong with you when you stop drinking. They knew there's something wrong with you when you stop smoking and start running around, quit looking at porn on your phone and in your computer, and, you know, listen to the world, knock out the world. They knew there's something wrong. Where are you going to church? They ain't handing out that pink Kool-Aid up there, are they? Is that that church where that preacher screams and hollers and shouts and carries on? Yeah, they do that too. But they're also casting out devils by the word. They're setting the captive free, bringing liberty to the real sons and daughters of God. Then what did you do? You start putting off the image of that old man, and you started taking on the image on the outside of the new man, which had been created after the image of God. You started going to church, reading your Bible, praying, getting rid of this, cleaning out that, getting rid of this music. Can't you see, friends, why this world of Christendom is in such a pitiful shape? They don't hear these scriptures preached of something they're supposed to do. How can they? When may the preacher stand in the pulpit and had it happen to them? We're blessed. Man by regeneration is restored to the image of God. Me making my body obey the word and bringing it subject to the word is only step one of where I'm taking it. Before long, I'm going to take it to bear the image of Jesus himself. My obedience now will lead my body to where it will actually be transformed. As one of my 10-year-old granddaughters asked me the other day, he said, "Poppy, is Jesus about our age?" I said, "No, he's a little bit older than you all are. But he's a young man." He said, "He'll never have gray hair?" I said, "Never." You see Poppy's gray hair? Poppy will be like him one day. And I won't have no more either. But how am I going to do it? Sitting around twiddling my thumb. Well, grace, grace, mercy, mercy. Put. Grace has its place, but put has its place. Grace is what God done. Put's what I do back. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to put the devil in his place, and I'm going to put me in mine. Amen. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Don't you see, when you hear him preached and when you hear you preached, it's doing something within you. It is renewing,
refreshing that image in your soul.
Here the word, the Greek word neos, N-E-O-S, means the recently put on nature. Lately just received at regeneration. My Lord. That ought to make some of you Baptist folks feel out talking in tongues. But now remember, the new self needs refreshing and renewing. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Now watch again, Paul, divide you from you. Look at your bipolar status. Your outward man is perishing. Anybody get up this morning with aches and pains and they had to take medicine and all kinds of this, that, and other? The outward man is perishing day by day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, so there you are. You're bipolar. One of you is below zero and the other one's way below zero, and you're in the middle, bulging out. Praise the Lord. So the original word faint, Paul said that we faint not, signifies to shrink back as cowards in war. Or sink down as a porter under a heavy load. Paul said, we don't faint. Amen. How many is with me? We're not faint. Oh my. Again, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. My inner man is like God. My inner man could create a new world. But my outer man won't let him. Don't sit there and look at me now like a bunch of holy, pious message folks. The only reason you all ain't got a new world because your outer man won't let you neither. I love this. Brother Man says, if God be with us, we'll be all of his miracles. You can't expect a baby to be born a man. He's got to grow to it. And we grow in Christ to the full stature. Something, not somebody get converted tonight and tomorrow night go out and preach the gospel. We grow up into manhood, into the stature of Christ. Let's skip down, Brother Eric, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. Now don't let me choke you to death, but let me say this to you. The new man is Christ formed in you. You see, friends, the way the majority of Christendom preaches the new birth today, it's the same them remodeled. They still sin. I mean, they can't help that, of course. You know, they still sin. And they don't live a real victorious life. So, actually, instead of getting a new person, they just got a remodeling job. They ran an advertisement in Craigslist and announced it on the radio that they was looking for a remodel. So here showed up a couple of backslidden preachers and a pastor and associate pastor and a song leader and this, that, and the other. And they had some of these decrepit looking tools in their toolbox. They didn't really check up their resume to see how good they were, see what kind of reputation they had, and check them on Angie's List and so on and so on. If you're going to put your soul into a preacher's hands, you might ought to check and make sure he's identified on God's list. You see, if God ain't working with him, if I was you, I'd run from him. So this preacher and associate pastor and song minister and this and that and the other got in there and said, now you can't expect a whole new creature now because you're immortal down here. You can't really expect that. And after all, I don't live that good anyway myself, so you can't expect to live beyond me. I mean, so the only thing you want to do is just be safe from going to hell. And you can kind of expect a little bit. You know, I mean, pretty much you're going to lust after women every day of your life unless you're a pervert and then you lust after men. And, you know, that just goes with it. That's just part of being a Christian in this day. The power of God's so weak now that you can't expect to live an overcoming life. What about the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost, who ever heard of such thing? There is no such thing. I passed away the days the apostles were. I need to go back to the face of the apostles then. And you can't expect to overcome, and then Jesus will accept you in, and you know, because of his mercy and grace, and you can't live. But somebody told me they go to a church of prayer. I can't remember the name of it. Happy Valley. Oh, now, no, Lord have mercy. Have you been on Google? Have you Googled that man's name? No, I haven't lately. I'm more concerned about finding my name here than I am on Google. I guarantee you that. Because a lot of the things that be said about me on Google ain't the truth no how. But if I can find myself in this word, it'll all be right. It'll all be true. It'll all be genuine. And what did they do? They're remodeling a bunch of them sinners and they're telling them they're Christians. They're nothing but remodeled harlots, remodeled prostitutes, remodeled cigarette suckers. And they put their name on a book going to hell. But when a seed goes to searching for reality, God sends a wrecking crew. Here comes the preacher, got a crowbar, a pry bar, a sledgehammer, and they got a ball on the outside. They tear that thing from the foundation down. Oh, glory to God. They go to tearing past tradition and tearing past church theology, and mama said and daddy said, and they go right down to the very DNA of God, right down to the soul, and go to building by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On top of that seed gene, they pray them through to the Holy Ghost. They pray them through to sanctification. They pray them through to a godly life. There they are standing in the community. They are not a restored house. They're a new one. Let's stand. Where did my time go? Can I share with you a couple more scriptures? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in. Don't you understand? This is as far as Laodicea's ministers can lead them. Faith in the Son of God. Can you believe one different, one little word makes such a difference? Wise and foolish virgin. In and of separates us from the church. In and of but feel separates us. This is what makes us different. We don't just have faith in him. We have his faith. Why? It's Christ born in us. Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created not only by but in. Excuse me. If you've got anything to say about us, go back to where we come from. Trace my genealogy and my pedigree. I was created in Christ. Praise the Lord. Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In Jesus, I could understand. In us. In us. His love reaches completion. A full age. The garment, you see. It reaches the garment. It's not you doing it. It's not me doing it. Perfection's coming from him. The perfection of his love is in us. Praise God. Overcomers. Don't let me offend you. But if there's anybody left to write and continue on with Hebrews 11, I would want my name to be in there. Of Jephthah, of Barak, of so on and so on and so on. Let's bring it on up. Donnie and David and Carol, and you sisters and brothers, found in the gallery of God. As an overcomer. Praise God. Don't you see the warfare, friends? You understand? Don't you see the warfare that goes within yourself? And it sets this warring in your members. This is why Paul would define two laws in Romans 7 and Romans 8. The law in my members is warring against the law in my mind, the transformed new man. No wonder he would come and say, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm bipolar. Who's going to deliver me? This ain't a sinner crying. This is a man that's been born again. I don't understand why preachers so struggle with this. The bottom line is they don't understand it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? You bring your flesh pots. You bring your brazen altars. You bring your pole, your bowls, and your purple and your scarlet and all these instruments. And you yield them by the indwelling presence of the King. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. He enthroned himself in mortality. And he takes these and says, now you do it. I'm not going to do it for you. I don't want to be the one. I could do it from within you. I could make your body obey me. But I want you to inherit my kingdom. And I want you to do it now. Don't you see why you're going to be fit for the millennium? You've ruled over one of the biggest heathens that ever lived. Glory to God, that was a good one. No wonder we'll be fit to rule over the heathen in the millennium. We've ruled over a heathen now. Let me stop. Don't you love him? Look, friends, this organ made by the Hammond Company. Quit making them in 1974, 75, this particular model here. Not been made new since then. The guy that came up with the patent was a genius. Has what's called a tone generator on the inside. That's why Harry has to start it every time. It's not just electronics, but it has two things on the inside of the keyboards called tone generators. And it's a thing that sits there and spins constantly, upper and lower keyboard. You have to put oil in it, Hammond oil. Every now and then. And yet here this was made in 1974. I forget exactly the year that it was made. You find these today on eBay and lots of music stores. They're running anywhere from $8 to $28 to $30 to $35,000. That old, and yet people still want them? Yeah. Because man and all of his electronics have still not been able to replicate that identical. I know the digital tone will show up. I understand all that. I understand how all that works. But you can't fool this, no matter how digital you are. Oh, that's well and good. Now, we got somebody that loves the Lord and gives their talent to the Lord. Then they take that instrument and they play wonderful music out of it. Same with the piano. Same with the guitar. Same with the drums. But these instruments could play rock and roll. They could play country. They could play jazz. Who will determine it? Who's sitting there? Why? The organ is neutral. The drums are neutral. The guitars, the piano, it's neutral. These speakers are neutral. This PA system, this microphone is the same type. Exact same ones that country music stars use down in Nashville. Countryman mic. It could have been used for preaching false doctrine. It could have been used in a honky-tonk. It could have been used in all kinds of things. But over this microphone has come words of life that have set folks free. But yet the mic itself is neutral. Same with your humanity. Oh, Brother Donnie, if I could only be like that. Well, to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be like this mic. I know the infamous orange handle screwdrivers, famous all around the world by now. I went down to South Carolina, that's all I heard was the orange screwdriver. Oh, I want to be like that screwdriver. I don't. I do, but I don't. That screwdriver has no feelings. It cannot love. It cannot worship. It cannot praise. We'll look at it in the morning. There's still a part of you that wants to be like it, but not totally like it. Well, it'd be easier for us. Yeah, easier if we just like the microphone, the Gatorade, the bottle, you know, this piece of wood, this piece of metal that used the microphone. We had no say, no will whatsoever. You want to be a robot? But instead, God buries that, buries it in humanity, fears and complexes and whatever more, and gets out of it the perfect use of what he wants it to be. But it's a greater miracle than if he would have made you as a dumb mute. With no feeling, no emotion, you just do as you're told to do and you run there and do this and that. I don't want to be like that. I want to serve him with my will. But Dave, I want to serve him with my, I want to give him all that I am. It's harder. I know it's harder, but it's what he wanted. And if that's what he wants, that's what I want. Don't you love him? Praise be to God. All those of you that want a script, line up here at the front door after church and I'll write y'all a script for your bipolar because some of y'all's got it bad. As a matter of fact, some of y'all got it so bad you don't know you got it. That's the worst kind. You see, those who realize they have it, know they need help, they can be helped. But those who don't know they got it, I mean, they're froze on both ends, ain't they? They're just in a mess. Don't you love the Lord? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, you so amaze us, Father, the way you do things and the way you say things. I'm amazed at the way you'll condescend to our level to say things in such a way that we can relate to it. It's not that you talk like that yourself. It's not that you think in the terms that we do. And yet, I love listening to the prophet in the way that you deal with him and show him things. And it was ways that were so simple many times, yet so profound. Even when he was out at Brother Charlie's, there was places that they named them and called them. Some places Brother Charlie named them, the knobs and this and that and the other. Other places Brother Branham called them. And yet you sent him over one day to the place that he had called Sportsman's Hollow. And you quoted that to him. Go to the place you called. And Brother Branham even noted it. He said, he didn't say he called with that, but he said, I did. So, Lord, you'll use things even like this tonight, a bipolar or the orange screwdriver, whatever more, that we can be able to relate to it. You're so sublime and so wonderful that if you would talk to us in your way, we couldn't understand none of it. It would so overwhelm us. But you want us to get it so bad. You'll humble yourself and come down and live as a mortal, which you've already done. then you'll humble yourself and have preachers to speak in terms that we can relate to it. Because you want us to get it so much. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help each of us tonight. I hope and trust that this will be a blessing to your children. Not only those present, Lord, but those that may listen to it by other means. Help us to see, Father, what's happened to us since we got saved. Since we got the Holy Ghost. That cocklebur heart, the Spirit of God come down and surgically remove the heart from that cocklebur. And quicken that wheat grain. And sewed that old cocklebur up on the outside. And left it sticky with that carnal nature on the outside. And it's going to bother us as long as we live. Yet, on the inside, we're wheat heart. As long as we submit to that, it'll make these instruments play the right music, say the right words, do the right things. But your prophet said the Holy Ghost feeds on the Word. And if we don't feed our experience, we become weak, cold, and complacent. Help us to realize, Lord, we will only be as we eat. And if most of these folks would go on the same diet that they're on spiritually, some folks here at Happy Valley want to come to church once a week. Some come twice and some come three. But for all of those, even those that come three times a week, if they would pattern their diet naturally that way and they would eat physically three times a week, before long our congregation would be a dead church, literally. Help us to realize, Lord, coming to church and hearing the preacher is well and good. It's what we're supposed to do. But they're supposed to read their Bible at home. You made a way for us to have the voice of our prophet on tape. The only church age that is blessed with this great thing, that after our messenger is gone, we can still hear his voice. And we can read his books and read the Bible. We can have it on our phones and our computer. Everywhere we go, we can have it. Help us to realize, Lord, in this day we need strength and stamina. And that comes from feeding on the Word. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, Dr. Jesus, for coming this way tonight. Amen. Properly diagnosing each of us that are truly born again. We have told you our symptoms. We have laid out our complaints. And you have let us know we are suffering with an extreme case of the new birth. We have been extremely born again. Praise God. We have been forever changed. We have come in contact with eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise God. Don't you love him tonight, saints? Aren't you grateful that you have had an extreme new birth? You have come in contact with the eternal one. The other morning, I was down in South Carolina. I woke up before daylight and thinking about what I was going to say at the wedding there. And just kind of thinking and pondering and praying. The Spirit of God spoke these words to me. I'm hoping somewhere he'll let me preach it. An awesome moment in time. I begin to think about man created. I begin to think about Abraham. I begin to think about Moses. I begin to think about Brother Branham meeting the angel of God. I begin to think about me meeting God. I began to think about so many things, and God started putting it together. And then my final thought was, Brother David, the rapture. An awesome moment in time. Oh, I'm waiting for that moment, aren't you? Oh, glory to God. It was an awesome moment in time when I met him. It was an awesome moment in time when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was an awesome moment in time when he revealed to me the message of the hour. And it's going to be an awesome moment in time when I get changed. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hey, saying, let's just worship the Lord. Can we just worship him a little bit? Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God.
think of what you are tonight, children. For those of you that's been born again, he has put the new man in you, and he's telling you to put it on. Put it on by the way you talk, by your attitude, by the way you dress, by the way you live. Put it on. Put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Let's just worship him a little bit now while we're in his presence. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything either. But I'm going to worship him anyhow. Because I was called to praise him. I was called to offer up these hands in his presence. Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'm called to praise him whether I feel a thing or not. Anybody else going to worship him with me? Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord God. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Oh, holy Jesus. Hallelujah.
That's the way it's got to be.
Let's sing it now. Close your eyes and let's just make love to him now. Oh, sweet Jesus. Yeah. Till there's no room left in me. Oh,
wasted. Start to the finish.
I need more of you in me. Let's sing it now. Let the bride sing it. I need more of you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's the way it's gone. Jesus, till there's no room. left in need. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. You've been so good to us in this service tonight and spoke so many wonderful things. We'd like to take just a few moments and speak back to your ears that we love you. We appreciate you. We magnify your name, Lord. We don't want it to be one-sided tonight, Lord, that you've done most of the giving. But Lord, before we go, we want to let you know that we adore you. We magnify you. We were born to serve you. Lord God, we love you more than life. We love you more than our mamas, our daddies, our families, our own life. We'll lay down our life if need be for your cause and your cross, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you tonight simply for one reason, because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name tonight, Lord. I exalt you. I extol thee, my God. Hallelujah. You are from eternity. And you come down and condescend in a body of time that you could share with us your lamb life. That lamb life replaced our nature. Hallelujah. Made us in your image. And then you command us to put that image on the outside, that it might bring our members into resemblance of what the service is. As the gold come out of the ground, and then it came through the hands of a handyman who was able to be an artificer of crafts. That man was able to take the ore out of the earth, smelt it out of the rocks and whatever more. Then he could make by hand tools and shape it into a smelting pot, or shape it into a snuffer. Shape it into something that was used in the image of God. So that which came from the ground took on the image of the temple. Hallelujah! It took on the image of the temple. Glory to God! Oh Lord God, may our bodies, which come from the dust of the earth, come from sex, desire, and conception of a mother and father, but may it take on the image of the temple of God. For we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord, to artisans of the ministry, blessed be the name of God. To the artisans of the ministry, praise be to God as they surrender their gifts to God and they take the tools by which God has given them. May they shape and mold us into the very instruments and handiwork of the Almighty, that our bodies become the reflection of the tabernacle of God. That we look holy, we talk holy, we live holy, we act holy. Oh, what a miracle it is that our bodies are able to transcend our births. By birth, we should be mortal. By birth, they should be instruments of carnality. By birth, our body should not be able to transcend that which it was born by. The power of God within our souls makes our flesh. It has such power, it makes us transcend our natural birth. Glory be to God. The overcoming power within our soul makes our body raise up its instruments in the hand of God. Hallelujah. Into the very presence of the Almighty God. And we raise our hands in adoration and praise. Why? They're bearing the resemblance of the temple. Glory to God. Glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. I exalt you, my God. I exalt you. I bless your name. Hallelujah. I raise these hands, these fingers, these lips, this voice. I lift my head toward the heavens. I worship you. I bless your name. I exalt you, mighty God. This is the best that I can do until I'm changed. But I promise you, sir, when I get a body like yours, I will praise you like a heavenly son. But I'm going to do my very best right now until that time arrives. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can we just raise our hands, saints, and wave them around in the Shekinah glory? Oh, hallelujah. If you can imagine it in your mind, the same light of God that was behind the veil is right here tonight. Not only in this building, but he's veiled in you that have the Holy Ghost. He's right there in you, that inner man. That inner man, Christ, has been created in you. That new image. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you. We exalt your name. Blessed be the name of our God. Blessed be the name of our husband. Blessed be the name of our Redeemer, our King. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody would help me worship him. Oh, Brother Donald, I need the music to help me. No, you need love. Any love in your heart. Just get the music out of your mind and let's just worship him from within our hearts. From our hearts. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Shut your neighbor out, your wife, your daughter, your kids, whoever's standing around you. Enter into that place, just you and Jesus, where you can worship him and love him. Oh, my. Praise be to God. I bless you, my God. Hallelujah. I worship you, my King. Thank you, Lord. We have been so honored to sit at your table tonight, my Lord. Thank you, blessed God. Thank you, blessed God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We bless your name forever. You are worthy, our great King. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together, hey. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, I love it when his august presence comes so near. It's strange, friends. I know we're going through a transition. We have been for several years, really, to where that we sense that he's near. But it's like the tingling sensation feeling of something on your flesh. It's like that's not what the emphasis is. That's not what that he wants to be so real to you. It's just that you know that he's near. And he's there. You know if you could just reach out that he's here to do what you have need of. And yet as far as feelings, you may feel like you're deader than you've ever been in your life. God don't want you to know him by feelings in the realm of feelings alone. But where you can hear him and yet you don't see him. You don't feel him in the sense of imagination or conscience or the bodily feeling, but you know that he's here. How do you know? Something from within you recognizes the eternal himself. And your body standing there without one sensation, without one emotion, without one feeling, and yet you feel it so near and it's there. That's the very thing that's going to change us one day. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Jesus. Bless your name, oh God. Bless your name, oh God. I bless your name. I worship you. I worship you. I bless you, Lord.
I give myself away so you,
hallelujah,
can live in me.
Let's sing it.
I give myself away.
Can you do it? Your fingers, your hands, your eyes, your mouth.
Give myself
your
away.
Your mind, your way.
So you,
Lord,
can use
me. You can use me.
I give myself away. Myself away,
so you
can use me.
Hallelujah.
I give myself away.